Disc 4.
Chapter 13. Bobby went home. He had about 30 messages on his answering machine. 29 were from blood-sucking reporters, each and every one promising to tell his side of the story in return for an exclusive, did I mention exclusive, interview. The 30th was from his LT inviting him over for dinner.
Come on over, Bruni extolled into the answering machine. Rachel's roasted half a cow and is serving it with 10 pounds of mashed potatoes. We'll eat too much, make rude bodily noises, and shoot the shit. It'll be fun.
Bruni was a good guy. He looked out for his team, kept them all together. He meant the invitation sincerely, and Bobby should go. It'd be good for him. Get him out of the house, keep him out of further trouble. He already knew he wouldn't. He walked away from the blinking machine into his tiny kitchen. He opened the refrigerator door, eyed the empty interior. He wanted to call Susan, say, what? I'm a jerk, I'm an ass. Worse, I'm a killer. None of it sounded promising, none of it changed anything. Pizza, he thought. He'd walk to the local pizza parlor, order himself a pie. But thoughts of pizza made him think of beer, and thoughts of beer suddenly had his heart racing and his mouth salivating. Yeah, that was it. Screw his kind-hearted LT, screw too perfect Susan, screw even dark and dangerous Catherine Gagnon, who'd raked her nails across his chest and made him pant like an overeager lapdog. Fuck 'em all, he didn't need people. He needed a beer. It occurred to him, in the last functioning spot in his brain, that if he didn't do something now, right now, he was going to end up at a bar. And once he did, he was going to drink. Bobby picked up the phone. He made a call. Then, before he had time to regret it, he headed out the door. Dr. Lane buzzed him straight up to her office. Last time he'd seen her, she'd been wearing a suit. Tan pants, squarish jacket, some kind of ivory blouse. Expensive clothes, he'd guessed, but he hadn't cared for the outfit. Looked too mannish, like what a corporate woman with a chip on her shoulder might wear to board meetings. The outfit hadn't gone with her smile. Tonight, called out on a Saturday to rescue an officer in distress, she wasn't wearing business clothes at all. Instead, given the frigid cold, she'd donned dark brown leggings and a warm cable-knit Irish sweater that curled up around her neck and set off her long, chestnut-colored hair. She looked like she should be lounging in front of a large stone fireplace with either a good book or a good-looking man. The image momentarily discomfited Bobby, and he found he couldn't make eye contact as he unwound his scarf and hung up his jacket. "Can I get you something to drink?" she asked from the doorway of her office. "Water, coffee, soda, hot chocolate?" He went with Coke, refusing her offer of a glass. She took a seat behind her desk. He returned to the wingback chair he'd used on Friday night, balancing on the edge.
"Thanks for the Coke," he said at last.
"You're welcome."
"Sorry if I messed up your plans."
"Not a problem."
"Did you have plans?"
he found himself asking. "I was thinking of going to a nursery and buying a ficus tree."
"Oh,"
he said. "Oh," she agreed.